Turn with me again this morning to Acts chapter 3. Beginning in verse 17, let's hear the word of God. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, from heaven, and must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time that we have this morning as we open your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. How many times in your life have you heard the gospel? Once? Twice? Dozens of times? Do you even know? We might assume, and I stress the word assume, that if you've ever darkened the door of a church, that even one time, you'd have at least had the opportunity to hear the gospel. But that's not necessarily so. You know, it's a sad state of affairs that in our modern times, it's quite possible that you can attend a church and never once hear the gospel. Never once. There's so much emphasis that are placed on so many other things. It's absurd to think of it that way. But when was the last time you heard a sermon, a message from anybody about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ? The preaching of salvation through Christ alone and our need of it too often has been substituted, has been replaced by sideshows, by musical acts, by novelties of some sort or another. Clown ministry. That's my favorite thing to pick on. One of them. You know, it's not very seeker sensitive to be reminded of the fact that we're sinners. We're sinners and we are doomed to an eternal hell. And we are worthy of the wrath of a holy God. Yet we're spared from that torment only by the grace of that same holy God through the work of his son Jesus. The message is always the same, and there is certainly no better one. But the delivery of that message might vary. Sometimes we can communicate the gospel to people in a really very light and easy way. If you attend here at all, you know that I have, though it may be warped, a sense of humor. And sometimes I use that to try and make my points. The points that are made sometimes are not exactly the ones I want, but, you know, nevertheless. Sometimes this same message has to be delivered in a more grave tone. And as we've seen, as we looked at this second sermon of Peter's, that he has really pulled no punches with his message. He has made it clear to the audience that he has that day that they are guilty of the torture and of the death of the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead. But as he has gone through this thing, and as we mentioned before, he's been intense. He's really put it in their face as to their guilt in this circumstance. But as it were, he took a moment of relief. And he backs off and he says, okay, but I know that you were ignorant. You're guilty of what you did. You're guilty of the deed, but you didn't know what you were doing. You know, I hate to think about it, but I honestly believe there are millions of people who think that they're going to be able to sidestep the judgment seat of Christ by claiming ignorance. Said, I didn't know. Well, I never went to church. Sunday, that's the day you sleep in, man. That's the day you get caught up on stuff. Sunday's the day where the fish are biting excellently. Sunday's family day at the ballpark. The Indians will always give you a good deal to come out on Sunday. We have so many other opportunities. I'll drive to church on Sunday morning and see everybody out mowing the grass. But Sunday must be the best day for that. You say, I never went to church, so you can't hold me accountable. And I never went to church, but I never read the Bible. I mean, God, you have to understand, there are so many other things for us to know. Why, thank you, God, for allowing Al Gore to invent the internet. Because now we have access to just so much information. And Lord, this book that you've provided to us, it's thousands of years old. I never read that. If I'm never reading the Word of God, why am I ever going to spend any time studying the things of God? Life is pretty short. You only get so many years. You don't want to waste any time spending it on God, right? You have all eternity to deal with that, right? How can God hold me accountable? How can I be accountable? I'm ignorant. I've never done any of those things. Let's say, for what reason I have no idea, you decided to take a trip to Pittsburgh. Again, with apologies to Junior, wherever you may be, why anybody would want to go to Pittsburgh, I just don't know. But let's say you did. Let's say you went to Pittsburgh, you're going on your way, and after you left the safety of Ohio's borders, saw that sign that says, Welcome to Pennsylvania, red lights all of a sudden become meaningless. You'll drive through little towns, they have little traffic lights up there, and you say, oh, isn't that pretty? They have red and green, they must be getting ready for Christmas. That's really nice. And you drive along, the light turns red, you're in a hurry, you want to get to your destination, you don't have time to stop, let's keep on going. Well, you might get away with that for a while. You might be able to pull that off. But sooner or later, a kindly Pennsylvania trooper, he determines that he wants to make your acquaintance. You know, he sees those Ohio license plates and says, hey, those people are special, because Ohio only has special people. And I really want to get acquainted with them. And so as you're driving along, you'll possibly notice him in your mirror, and he is so excited about wanting to get to meet you, he turns on these little flashing lights. He says, you know, he just wants to get your attention. He says, hey, I'm back here, guys. You know, I really would like to meet you. But you keep on going on down the road. Well, finally, he determines that he wants to meet you so badly and the lights aren't getting the job done that he'll pull out and he'll just kind of like cut you off. So you pull over and he says, hey, I'm really happy to see you there today, but you know, I couldn't help but notice that you just drove right through when the traffic light was red. Several times. And you say, well, you know what, officer? I hope you're having a great day. And I'm sorry to have you pull me over just for a warning. But I'm from Ohio, and I just didn't know your laws. And he says, well, don't you stop for red lights in Ohio? And you say, well, yes, but this is Pennsylvania. And he, as he's pulling out his little book that give you his autograph, says, but you know, you are responsible to know the laws of the place that you're driving. And you know what? They're readily available to you. Ignorance is no excuse. Peter's congregation that he's preaching to had the law available to them. He had the prophets available to them, readily available. They could get it anytime they wanted. The scriptures told them plainly of who the Messiah was and what he would endure in his life. And still, they willfully remained ignorant of the truth. Nevertheless, if their ears were open to the gospel, some hope was offered to them. He said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be converted. Such an unpopular message for our modern day. People don't think they have to repent of anything. We're schooled to know that, hey, whatever's good with you is all right. What do you mean repent? Wait. Who is this God that says, these are the laws, these are the rules, this is what I expect of you to be, you know, this is what I require of you? Who is this God? We've grown up, especially in America, with that kind of an attitude. We've been told there's no one more important than you. Whatever you want to do is cool. God didn't really see it that way. And so Peter's telling the people who put the Son of God to death, he says, listen, you did it ignorantly. There's, you know, you can get out of this. Repent and be converted. Repent for crucifying Christ. And instead, acknowledge him as your Messiah. Receive the doctrines. Ooh, who said a dirty word? Receive his doctrines. Submit to his laws. We said doctrines, we say submit. These are not popular words. We can't say these things. And yet God requires it of us. If we're going to be faithful to him, if we're going to be obedient to him, we are going to acquire his doctrines. We are going to study his doctrines. Doctrine is what tells us how to live. And yeah, he has a right to tell us how to live. Submission. Man, nobody submits. I ain't submitting to nobody, and nobody needs to submit to me. Not what God says. We talk about submission when we speak of the husband and wife relationship, and we say wives have to submit to the husbands, whatever kind of thing. That gets people all itchy. You know, the scriptures also tell us that we are to submit to each other. You know that? So what? I'm a pastor. You know what? I bow to you. My obligation to submit to one another. This is a job that I have. This is a gift that I have. You have gifts too, and we submit to one another in those things. Don't like that word. He says, repent and be converted. You know, receive the doctrines. Submit to the laws. And those are internal functions. Those are things that occur from the inside. But externally, reform the way you live your life. Don't think just because you go to the temple and sacrifice a lamb that everything's good with you. Because that's not the way it's done anymore. Do this and you will receive a great blessing. You will have your sins blotted out. You can confidently go to judgment before Christ, knowing that you've got none of this stuff on your account. That when you stand before Him, when you stand before the Father, He'll see the finished work of Jesus and not see our wretchedness. We seek that forgiveness, we receive that forgiveness, and He promises times of refreshing. I talked about that last week. Yeah. Hot as it's been. Refreshment sounds good, right? This is a greater refreshment than we could know at this point. Because the greatest of these times of refreshing is the return of Christ Himself. The return of Jesus for His bride. It brings a refreshment that is beyond our comprehension. You see, we talk about the faith, and so much of the faith is just that. It's faith. It's faith that's given to us by God Himself. So much of the things can't be reasoned out. There are so many things that occur in our lives that we just can't get an answer for. We simply have to have faith in God because He has the answers. He's ordained what it is that we've gone through and what we will continue to go through. Jesus returns for us. We receive that refreshment that ever goes on. And then we're going to spend a good portion of eternity, I'm quite sure, just saying, how's He do that? How'd that happen? How is that possible? You may be in heaven and you'll say, how did you get here? See, does heaven allow anybody in there who has a pink beard? I'm not sure. Okay, red actually. I think there's a possibility. I'm sorry. So Peter continues to drive his point home. He's trying to make it clear to these people that Jesus is the Messiah. He says, Moses prophesied. Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Moses had recorded that centuries before. Moses says there's a prophet that's going to be coming along who is like him. What was it about Moses? What was so special about Moses that made him special? Aside from the fact that God appointed him to the position that he had. It was that he directly interceded on behalf of the people to God. And this prophet that Moses spoke about, Jesus, obviously has a much greater ability to do that. We can have no greater intimate relationship with God than we can through Jesus Christ. He speaks to this crowd, this Jewish crowd of Moses, and Moses is the prophet that perhaps they most revere. And he's talking about this one who is greater than himself. And he says, failure to heed the words of this greater prophet will lead to dire consequences. What choice does God have but to destroy his enemies? A holy God is not going to allow unholy anything around him. Period. That's the blessing of his grace to us. You see? Holiness and unholiness don't mingle. Light and dark can't get together. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The writer of the Hebrews wrote. And you know, it isn't just Peter here that's making messianic claims for Christ. He says, yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. It wasn't just Peter, it wasn't just Moses, it was Samuel. It's the consistent message of the Word of God. All of the Old Testament foretells the coming of the Messiah. And Peter is reminding them that Messiah was the one who was there. And when he's given this message, it wasn't that long ago that he was there. He says this should be especially a time of rejoicing for those who are the children of the prophets, the sons of the covenant. The covenant that God made with Abraham that applies to us. What greater stuff do you have to, I don't know, to rejoice about? To be a child of the covenant. God willing, we will put a mark on a couple of children. Because as the testimony of their father, they are children of the covenant. And so we put the mark of the covenant on them. Under Moses, only the male children were marked. Under Christ, we all receive that mark. It says we are part of the visible church. We do this in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful again to you this morning, Lord, for the privileges that we experience week in and week out, the opportunities that we have to gather together as a body to worship you. Lord, I would pray that we would not be a people who would find that just something to take for granted, but that would be an event that we look forward to week in and week out. While we have our own personal times of worship, our own personal times of fellowship with you, the blessing of as a body gathering together to worship. Help us never to just let that go by the way. Lord, I thank you for the blessing again of your word and the availability that we have of it. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed men over the centuries who have seen to it that the word was translated into languages that we can understand and that we are able to feast upon what it is that you have for us in order to enable us to live godly lives. Help us, I pray, by the power of your Spirit to do those things, to live godly and upright lives before you. Help us, Lord, that in times when we fall, and they'll happen all the time, I just ask you to help us in those times, Lord, to remember quickly to seek your face in repentance and to make our accounts right with you. Thank you for the faith, for the truth that we have, that when we come to you in repentance, that you faithfully hear us and you forgive us. That's your word, and we hold to that. We thank you for it. Lord, I ask you to bless the people that are assembled here today, each one that's represented here, and whatever their personal circumstances are. Lord, I ask you to bless them in their lives. I ask you to bless the remainder of the events of this day, which may be many, may be few. Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to that we'll have an opportunity to fellowship with one another around a dinner table after a while. And thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that we have now to come and fellowship with you at your table, the table that you have spread, you've prepared for us to feast upon your body and on your blood, to recognize the sacrifice that you made for us and the overwhelming victory that you achieved over sin and death. Thank you for it. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.